Hello, everyone. I'm Daniel Bloodworth, joined by Elise Willems.
We must protect Daniel.
And Michael Huber.
Yes, we must.
We just all got through Life is Strange 2, Episode 2 this week, getting ready to get into it, see what we all chose, see what happened. If you have not played the episode yet, get out of here and go do that.
Get out.
Spoiler mode, final warning, spoiler mode.
All right. So before we get into like a beat by beat breakdown, I want to get everyone's like just general thoughts on this episode and feelings and perceptions. What sticks out to you just overall?
For me, it just feels like connective tissue episode, kind of, right? Mm. Like we did and background episode, because we're kind of getting a feel for how their mother really plays into their lives.
Yeah.
I don't remember her name. It's escaping me now.
Karen?
Karen, yeah. Because there's clearly so much resentment and ill will there. And it's not just with the kids, it's with her parents too.
I mean, Sean doesn't even call her mom.
Yeah.
And he knew her.
Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of, I think this episode is really just trying to establish that relationship with us and the gravity of that relationship. And also, I mean, it tied into Captain Spirit,
which is
massive, though I didn't exactly get how that's going to play into like the rest of our journey, or if it's just a one stop.
Yeah, it does make me feel where we get to by the end makes me feel like that was it. That was our interaction with Chris. but it's still neat that they did that extra episode to kind of give you that payoff here.
So the word that I would describe this episode with is connective, because it does feel like it's building and bridging and setting up some stuff for us.
Yeah, bonds.
Bonds
for me. This might be my favorite singular episode of an adventure game ever. Mm. I adore this episode. Its subtlety, its nuance with discussions specifically, and I know we'll get into it with one of the ones that really stands out to me is like Chris's dad and what can happen there depending on how you handle that situation. It just felt like you were in so much control over the outcome of how people perceive you and the relationships you build. I thought it was amazing. I love this episode to pieces.
Yeah, I think to me the characters here stand out so much better, particularly in the first one. You know, like the first one, I was like, I have a hard time like believing in some of these characters. They almost feel like they're getting close to caricatures. Whereas this episode, like everyone, they had a lot going on, but I could still like really feel like I related to them. Like the grandparents, like, they weren't sure whether to trust, whether to like really like, you know, put themselves on the line.
Yeah. What a beautiful scene too, right?
Yeah.
Like getting you in the when you first get there and they just have you kind of sit and wait while you overhear them talking. Just a powerful moment.
And I'll admit, I had kind of a skepticism meeting the grandparents, because you have to wonder, well, why aren't these people in our lives now? And I had an inkling of, are they going to immediately hand us over to the authorities? I don't know. I mean, they're not part of our lives. Mm-hmm. Do they care? Mm-hmm. But then once you kind of get past that, you're like, oh, it's actually really nice. And you've been in the woods for so long. It was so comforting to finally feel like to be able to take a breath.
Do laundry.
Yeah.
Do that train set. What? Stood up there. I was like watching that train for like 30 minutes.
Switching those tracks. Yeah. But once I went to that laundry room, I'm like, oh, we're doing laundry at some point.
Yeah.
Claire running us ragged.
Yeah, and I think too, like with Claire, like even though you like, you know, you weren't sure what to take, and she had like, you know, the bitterness with Karen and stuff. Like I think, you know, that moment where like they kind of got together and like had that bedtime prayer and like, like this just feels really genuine, really natural. It doesn't feel like they're trying to like force something on this or have like a weird perception of what that's like. It's just like, it just, you know, it just feels like that's, you know, what you would get at that like family member's house.
Totally.
Except I cannot lie, blood. I did not pray.
Oh, you did not?
I didn't pray, but I told Daniel that the dog was in heaven.
Okay. I did as well.
I was like, oh, he's probably in heaven. But then when it was time to pray, I was like, no, nah,
I did as well. It, to me, it just felt disingenuous to the character. It wasn't me projecting any mm-hmm. personal beliefs. I just thought he's kind of been setting us up to believe that he has this real skepticism and he's, you know, lost faith maybe because of what's happened with his dad or yeah. his, you know, his relationship with his mom. And I was like, I don't think this is what this character, like, I mean, he's very polite. So mm-hmm. maybe he would just be like, okay, well, regardless of how I feel, I'm going yeah. to just, Claire's been kind to us, you know, but I was, I also, it's a game, so you can kind of be like, well, I'm going to stir the pot a little bit. And sure. So I did not pray.
And then I also thought with like Chris's dad, like you were saying, like you kind of go through the layers with him too. It was like, yeah, he's struggling. Like he's in a bad place, but you can see that he doesn't like that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he knows that he needs to be better, and you can kind of feel like he can get there.
That moment to me was the most brilliant. Is when you're in the car coming back from the Christmas tree lot, and you have the option to be like, "Hey, man, you're doing your best. Everything's fine."
Mm-hmm.
You can be really supportive, or you can challenge him. You can say, "Yo, is anything
yeah,
wrong?
Something's up.
Like, what is up? Like, you can tell me. What's going on?" I yeah. loved that moment because it didn't feel in the time like you were making a huge decision, but that's a pivotal moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, to what you're saying as to like, you know, Chris kind of, or not kind of, he really does resemble like someone who is an abuser, like with, especially with Chris, his son, you know, it's the, well, I love you. I don't want this to happen. I don't want to be this, abuses and then profusely apologizes mm-hmm. later. And it's that like vicious cycle. And it's worse because in this, it's with a kid. You know, it's not an adult yeah. that's in like this toxic relationship. But they kind of do get that really good. And especially when you're talking to the dad, and he's like, oh, I just yeah, and it's like, okay, but are you really going to change? Are you, you know, you're remorseful now, but
yeah,
it doesn't matter. Yeah, God, it's heavy.
There's a really that yeah that moment's really intense.
Yeah.
So the title of this episode and the theme is rules, and Sean has his rules that he lays out for Daniel, and mm-hmm. then Claire has her rules that she lays out for both of them. What was kind of your take on that, and like kind of how that ends up playing out throughout the episode?
So I'm trying to play it like older brother looking out for him, being very protective, but I know he can take care of himself. So I don't want him to like never use his powers. I want to only use them in the most dire situation.
Yeah.
And my mentality too is it's too dangerous to use them. One, because we don't know what the effects are, if this is going to kill you every time you do this, but mainly too, to stay hidden. We're on the run for murder charges.
Yep.
The last thing we need
yeah.
is to cause chaos yeah. using your powers willy-nilly.
I think I might be playing similar to you because, mm-hmm. for example, at the breakfast table, when Daniel starts kind of
yeah.
futzing with everything. And,
stop
and,
it, dude. And you what
can,
are you doing?
And you can tell him to stop, which, you know, obviously would alert Claire to like, oh, there's something going on. I just sort of stayed quiet.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is not the time. He'll do it, but you know, we'll get to it later, but with the armoire, you know, falling,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have him use the powers.
Oh, okay.
Me either.
Yeah.
I did.
But I let him when Chris was falling.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well.
That's not Daniel doing it. It's just you in the game.
It's whether you approve of it or not, right? It's not
yeah.
that you yeah. let him, because it's after the fact, because that happens. It's like
yeah.
no choice to that, but. Whether, yeah, basically telling him, like, whether he did the right thing or not.
Yeah. You can, like, reestablish the rules. You can be like, oh, it's fine, or hey.
Oh, I thought I could have sworn that in the game you can, like, go to let him fall or let him, or catch him, no?
There's one at the one, there's the big one at the very end with, you know, when he comes out with the cops.
Yeah.
And then it's.
We'll get to the final
yeah.
scene. Because
yeah.
I have my, I think yeah, I, yeah. I got a very different. Ending probably.
Okay. Yeah, I'm so pumped. I'm so pumped
yeah, I don't
to hear
know.
How
wait,
you're going.
Wait, are you on the train at the end?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, but yeah. I know.
I think we get there different ways.
Yeah, I know
yeah,
how
okay.
different the endings are. I'm
yeah,
so. Yeah,
I
want to
know. I
want to
know.
Yeah.
yeah. To me, yeah. What's interesting is it's one of those things where this episode sets up those rules, and like I was trying to follow them throughout, and they're just these points, like you're saying, where you have to break them, or even if you don't really have to, like the game is sort of pushing you that way. Like when, like I did not want to go to the Christmas tree lot, but like obviously that's
you have
a
to.
Key story point,
yeah.
And like you say no, but then they kind of talk you into it anyways. Mm-hmm. Same thing when you go into the mom's room. It's like, we should not be doing this. And then...
But we're going to do it.
Yeah.
But then stuff like, do you go online? Do you use the phone? I didn't do either of those things.
I didn't either.
I was like, that's too messy. Did you do it in either of your playthroughs?
On one play, I went to see what happens if you call her. Because it was like, hey, someone... The cops come and they're like, hey, someone saw you at the Christmas tree lot. It's the exact same thing. It's like, hey, they trace the call. So... Oh. Yeah.
Got it.
And then if you go online, it's like, hey, someone logged on to the account here. We know you're there. Mm-hmm. So it's like the same outcome.
Got it. But that's interesting because even though that's unavoidable, it kind of gives you this perception that it's like, well, this happened because you did this.
Yeah.
The other thing, maybe I'll save that one for later. There's other parts in this where it's like, so you have things where like, did I have a choice there? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That choice has kept me up at night for the last 2 weeks. Was calling her back or not, Lila?
Oh yeah.
I have felt guilty for not calling her.
Yeah.
I've talked it out with Beth. I'm like, dude, should I have called her? What do I do? I feel so bad. She's never going to forgive me. Because I called her in the first episode. Did you guys call her in the first one? When you go outside with the phone?
I don't think I did, but I don't remember at this point.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Because... You hang up on her. It gets like really emotional. You hang up on her in the first episode. And then in this one, you call her and she's like, hey, you hung up on me. I'm so mad at you. Like, I'm struggling. And she's going through a really hard time. And she's like, it's not.
So the cops are grilling her too, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, she says she's on medication. She hasn't been okay. And you can kind of ask about like your old crew, your friends. And you end up making her day. She's like, you really made my day. Thank you so much for calling me. But then on the other hand, it's like, I don't want to drag her into the situation.
Exactly.
Because if you make that call, then the police excuse is like, hey, we traced the call, blah, blah, blah. So then like, she's responsible kind of.
Exactly.
So it's just a tough call. I feel like that's a lose-lose. And I was kind of in the RP mindset of like, dude, I'll wait till I'm settled. Maybe when I get to, you know, down to Mexico. Can call her there for relative safety.
Yeah.
Let's get back towards the beginning. We start off in a cabin in the woods a few weeks later. I forget exactly the timing between episodes, but there's definitely, like, you can go through the journal entries and kind of see what they've been doing on the road in between. They've just found this abandoned cabin. It looks like the person... who owned it has passed on, and his kids have kind of moved away, and so they just have no interest in it.
There's lots of rotini there, though.
Ravioli.
Yeah, that's what they're surviving on.
But what's kind of cool is you start off as just kind of like this Jedi training with
straight
Daniel.
Up. Yeah. Straight up.
It's fun. Did you throw a snowball at Daniel?
Yeah,
I did. Yeah, I thought he was gonna catch it.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. And I felt that was a little duplicitous because I didn't realize like, oh, the game was gonna be like, you threw a snowball at Daniel, and you're supposed to throw it in front of him.
Yeah.
But that was neat.
It was real fun. Like just wandering around trying to figure out like, all right, can you push this? Can you do this? Can you pull that? You know, I was like, okay, that's too far away. That might be too heavy for right now. Mm-hmm.
And just a great, easy way to establish, like, all right, it's been a little time. He's coming to grip with his powers. He can actually, like, kind of use them now.
Yeah, that's the thing is, before, there was no control. Mm-hmm. So now we've gotten to a point where, like, okay, he can focus. He can do this when he wants.
Yeah.
It's not just coming out of him because he's angry. So, you know, that's good to know that there is some degree of control there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm terrified.
It's all fun until our dog is brutally mauled by
so uncalled for
mountain lion.
Yeah,
so uncalled for.
To get you attached to that dog.
Yeah, thanks.
Because there's no way.
Thanks, don't not appreciate that.
You cannot have the dog, right? Everyone has to have the dog at that point. Daniel sneaks it in.
Yeah, he sneaks it in at the end of episode one. Nothing you can do.
But I can understand why this game would say.
I mean, I've had that happen to me, so I relate to it. It's like.
Did you?
So when I was in school, in agriculture class, we raised chickens from eggs. We had an incubator.
No. Oh wait, I thought you meant that like someone snuck a dog into your life. Not that your animal was mauled.
No. So I lived out in the woods basically, and so I raised a little chick up, and it like became a rooster, and had this rooster running around
the
yard.
What was his name?
I don't remember if I had it. It had to have had a name, but I don't remember. Unfortunately. But, you know, and then like eventually as roosters do, they get kind of mean and they like start chasing you and trying to kick you and stuff like that. But, you know, we after it got too big to just like keep in a cage or whatever in the house, just had them in the garage.
Oh, no, you didn't.
And so we would let them in and out of the garage during the day and then, you know, put him back in the garage at night.
And he died of old age?
No. So, again, we lived in the woods.
Oh, no.
And my mom let him out in the yard too late at night, and a bobcat got him. And so there was just, like, a big, like, spray of feathers in the front yard, and that's the last we had seen of it.
It's not funny, but you describe it so clinically. Right. There was a big spray of feathers.
Spray of feathers. Yeah,
but yeah, so it was like, yeah, it was kind of like reliving that. It's like, I know what that's happened. Like to have a wild animal come after one of your pets.
So you killed the cougar then?
I did not. I was like, no, don't. Yeah, don't do that.
It's either.
Bad call, yeah.
Yeah. I saw what happens when you do. He like snaps its neck. Whoa. It's really brutal.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, though. It's like you're reinforcing that in him. Mm-hmm. Just does not feel like a good direction to go.
Yeah, and I'm all about protecting him, you know? So I love that he steps in front of him.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think also just telling, not even that, like, saying to him, like, you know, violence isn't the solution, but the power isn't always the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which I've been trying to hammer home, but, you know, I'm a good big brother, so...
Yeah, because he was using it to fill the water bottle, and then later on you're talking about the dishes in the bedroom.
Yeah.
He's like, okay.
I called him out for filling the water. I was like, dude, you're lazy.
Come on. We'll get to it later, but it really did break my heart, him making Chris think that he had powers. We'll get to that later. But it just did, because that kid has so much against him that to give him that hope and then take it, like, anyway.
Brutal.
Anyway.
But yeah, so after that, it's, what's interesting is through all of that, Daniel's also sick.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I have this thing going in my mind of like, is he sick because we're using the power?
Me too.
Is that a side effect? You know, cause Max had some kind of signs too.
She nosebleeds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time she used it. I automatically thought, oh my gosh, we're using this power and it's killing us, which is a pretty normal trope.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like that's the case.
Yeah, it seems like he needed to get out of the cold. They were just freezing all the time. They're not, I mean, I'm sure that cabins probably had mold or whatever, and eating ravioli and no vegetables. Yeah.
No vitamin C. It felt kind of like messaging to, what's the older brother's name?
Sean.
It kind of felt like messaging to Sean that, you know, okay, yes, you can take care of him, but you can only take your kid too. You can only take care of him to an extent.
Yeah.
You know, so what grandiose ideas you have, you need to kind of temper those, because he's still a little kid and so are you.
What did you think of him scaring the crap out of you with, like, someone's at the door?
Oh.
That's so funny.
Scared the crap out of me.
That was fun with the sheet. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun, but I was like, you little shit.
Did you think it was someone at first? You're like, who the hell is this?
Yeah, I guess I did think it was like somebody, like, you know, it was kind of like the dude from the gas station in the first episode. I'm like, oh no, are we going to have some other big prop, like some person bothering us?
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was a good
fun.
One. It really scared that scene really captures the atmosphere of the game, right? It's just like, this unease.
And it gives a lot of texture to the character. Like, Daniel, I think, is a really fun little kid character. Because I think sometimes kid characters can play a little bit annoying, you know?
Right.
The pestering little brother. But it's really fun character stuff for him and their relationship, too. It's really nice.
Did you guys get into that little dice game at all?
Totally. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Took me a while to understand. Like, okay, what am yeah. I trying to do here with the rules?
So but, fun. Yeah. I want to play with Ian.
It's so simple, and I had never seen any. Had you guys seen a game like that before? Like a makeshift.
No.
Like,
yeah. It was cool.
I thought it was pretty inventive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me. It was cool to see them make up their own game.
Yeah.
Totally. It reminds me of D&D from Before the Storm. Yeah. So fun.
Yep.
And then. Yeah, so they kind of make the plan to get to the grandparents, and we have a really nice, like, travel montage.
Dude.
So good.
So many emotions. Mm-hmm. Unreal emotions. Especially, too, the night before, too, when, because my Sean smokes cigarettes.
Oh.
Because I couldn't turn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He did smoke a little bit.
He smoked in mine. Daniel made some, you know, he sassed him a little bit. Mm-hmm.
But when he went outside for that smoke break and was just like contemplating life and looking up at the stars, it was like the title sequence. And he goes to try to pick up the rock himself.
And he can't.
And he can't. Just that, oh, that music and everything. It was just so good.
I get goosebumps right
now. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
And then, yeah, you get there. We kind of talked about that moment of like overhearing the conversation, but like just walking up to the house, like immediately recognized, like, this is it. This is where Captain Spirit lives. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was, you know, really ready for whatever we were going to see with that.
Some Jolly Chris vibes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's such a sweet kid. Yeah. I just feel just immensely terrible for him.
Yeah.
This whole time.
Mm. Save him. We gotta save them.
Did you guys get the vibe? I mean, obviously, no, you don't get the vibe. The game is basically trying to get you to choose whether you find Claire annoying and overbearing, or whether you're like, no, actually, she's really nice and she's taking care of us.
Yeah.
And it's weird because the game kept putting that sort of on me,
mm-hmm.
You know, with the questions it wants you to choose from. But I never personally got the vibe of like, you know, I answered accordingly, obviously. But I never was like, oh, Claire, like, you're, you know, because I was kind of like, we're in her home.
Totally.
We're fugitives.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's still opening, you know, coming to us with open arms. She hasn't had a kid in her home for 20 years, but she's, you know, she's like, just clean up after yourselves. And
absolutely.
I thought it was kind of strange. And I know why the game wanted us to choose between finding her that way or not.
Well, yeah, I think it's like one of those attitude kind of things. It's like it's a perception is like, you know, and I think that is sort of. I mean, I think it says a lot about different people's relationships and perceptions that, like, you can go in with, like, this preconceived notion of, like, what this person's trying to do, or you can take something the wrong way, like some of the things that they were saying mm-hmm. that they thought you couldn't hear what they were saying. But it's like, oh, okay, you know, and like, if you start getting an attitude, if you start getting a grudge mm-hmm. against that, then it kind of taints, like, all of your perception rather as if you try to keep it cool and, like, just, you know, try to be courteous.
Appreciative,
and,
yeah. I feel like we're all kind of playing the game the same way, where we want Sean to be, from the first episode where it's a matter of, you know, stealing from your dad or asking him for money. Like, we all want him to be a really upstanding kid. Like, I want him to be, you know, something, a young man that a Gillette commercial would be proud of. Like, I want him to be, like, respectful to everyone. And I think that's, like, a really nice thing that this game offers to people.
Absolutely.
I don't know, it's just goodness.
Totally. Goodness simulator.
Yeah. And I hope it pays off. Like, I hope karma pays off for us. I don't know if it will, but.
Because, you know, some choices are obviously way harder than others, which I appreciate. Like, I can't imagine a lot of people turning on Claire because it's like, yo, you're housing a fugitive, you know?
But
I'm grateful that you're letting us into your home. Whereas in episode one, the choice when the crazy dude locks you up.
Oh, man, yeah.
And it's like, or do you want to go back in and, like, steal from him now that you've, like, busted out? So it kind of gives you those, like, harder decisions,
and
which I'm sure
you,
are going to come.
Like, the character choices we're making are all seem pretty in contrast to, like, your typical rebellious teenager. Because, you know, I feel like a lot of teenagers, whether they're good kids or bad kids, would be like, oh, like, telling me to pick up my clothes again. But it just seems like Sean, like, coming from the background that he has of, you know, seeing his mom leave. And
he's already had to grow up a lot.
Yeah, he's had to grow up a lot. So I just feel like those you know, attitudes are in character with him to be respectful and follow the rules.
Yeah.
Did Daniel clean up in yours? Did he help you?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
What? He didn't help me. I was so upset. Because it was like,
When you, like, in the bedroom? Or like,
yeah, it's time to, like, do the laundry and everything.
And you're like, come on. And he's like, okay.
He's like, no, I don't want to.
Really?
Mm. So, me, yeah, that must be, like, a relationship trust thing over time, huh?
Dude.
You gotta school
Maybe I'm,
him.
Like, coddling him too much?
Yeah.
Like, honestly. Mm. I wonder. Because there's definitely a hidden relationship meter with them, too.
Right.
And, yeah, I thought that was interesting. I was like, dang, I haven't really done anything to offend him.
I want to see that relationship meter.
I know.
And you know, Until Dawn, you can see like how you're.
Oh,
you're,
right, right.
Well, it'll be like you're, you know, you're romantic with this person, and you're like, that person's dead. It doesn't matter.
I wonder if it'll give like a flow chart at the very end.
Maybe. Oh, like, you know, more things. Everything. Yeah, I kind of feel like they don't necessarily do that. I think the percentages is more of, you know, their take on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, being in their house, I thought was again like really cool. Like we talk about this almost every time, like the details that go into making those houses believable, and just kind of like I was saying, like how much Claire and Charles felt like believable characters. Like their homes really do too. Like it just feels like walking into that person's house.
Yeah, I know, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It's some of the most lived in, realistic, immersive environments in games for me is Life is Strange. It's you know, definitely one of the highlights is obviously the relationships, but just those environments to explore are so cozy and fun.
But they're all the same kind of comfy residential home, but none feel the same. Like Chloe's house doesn't feel the same as Claire and Steven's house.
Right.
Like it's it's well,
like they keep it really tidy, you know. They even comment about that one part, know, and two, that I think that's another thing that's really interesting is the way that you're able to kind of like inspect certain things. Like he inspects like the bar next to the toilet and, you know, there's like internal monologues on that. And, you know, things that like realistically a person probably wouldn't like think this sentence, but, you know, but still like getting that perception of, you know, almost like if you were like in their head asking them questions about like, what do you think of this? You know?
Yeah.
Did you find the montage where you're upstairs and you can like sit down together and you overlook the living room and you have a really long conversation and you're just talking about life? I like stumbled upon it. I was like just kind of like
you and Daniel
around.
I didn't see that.
Just like little,
I didn't notice there was like a picture frame that was like a little bent, like it was too high for everybody to get to, so it was like, again, it's like that kind of detail is like, oh, they haven't gotten it around to fixing that picture frame.
I did like the little heart-to-heart with Claire when she's sitting in the living room. Mm-hmm. You're kind of asking her like how long they've been married.
I missed that because I went into Steven's office first. And then after I came out, then she was like, I'm leaving right now. So
yeah, it's just, it was a nice little like actually getting to know your grandparent.
And did you tell him that he had powers?
Did you trust him? Yeah.
Did you trust him?
I felt, you know, in the moment I felt really bad because I felt like I'd been playing the game pretty honest and I couldn't tell where it was going to spiral or I thought, well, it could spiral to something or he could just be kind of dismissive.
Yeah.
And what did you guys do?
I told him the truth because he seemed to already have noticed that Daniel wasn't being very careful, you know, and so he noticed. And so, yeah, so like we had a little bit of a conversation about it and, but he was like, don't tell Claire because she might think that's weird. Like she might not react to it well, you know?
We had a vague talk where it was basically just like us talking in riddles to one another. He went, I think you've noticed something about Daniel. And then I was kind of like, yeah. And like, he didn't say what it was.
Yeah. I think that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you told him, I think.
No, I didn't. I'm pretty sure I lied to him.
She didn't tell him.
Okay, but when you, I got it.
But it still kind of played out like he was like, don't say anything to Claire. I don't know. I don't remember the specifics, but.
Yeah. Like he knew, but you didn't tell him, and he was just like, okay.
Steven Ness definitely felt less trustworthy than Claire.
Really?
I don't know why.
I definitely felt more trustworthy with him.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought they were going with, like, the good cop, bad cop.
Because he was, you know, he was the one that, like, kind of insisted on, like, letting you stay there. He doesn't seem to have as strong of a reaction to memories of Karen. Like, he's got the picture. And it's like, don't let her know that I've got this picture here, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because when we first arrive on their doorstep and she like hugs you and then she's like, come in, both of you. And she's, I don't know, she took command of that meeting and that maybe cemented it for me of like, Claire is the one that's taking care of us. But
definitely.
Yeah. And oh, and then also, I don't know if this happened to you, if you didn't, if you weren't more open with him, but when I was talking through that, he actually offers to let you stay there like permanently.
Whoa.
So, and so yeah, you have that choice. That. Oh, you did get that?
Yeah. Okay. And I said, yes, we would. Yeah, I think.
I had him say that too, yeah.
Yeah, I have to look up my.
You're going to miss that.
Yeah. So I thought that was, you know, again, that thing that feeds into like why I was like more, and it's not necessarily like Claire is untrustworthy, but just it's like maybe more prone to react the wrong way, you know,
hesitant,
and then like catch up to herself later, you know,
because it's like opening that door to the past too, you know,
like she's been trying hurt, to bury basically, and so that's why like she's a little bit more touch and go.
When I played it, I know I did confess to Steven about it says I confessed to Steven about Daniel's power.
Yeah.
But we didn't get into it, though.
It's like...
Maybe that's why it felt like I didn't.
Yeah, because even if you tell him, he plays it coy.
Did you play it, like, both ways?
On that part, no.
Oh, okay.
But I remember telling him about it, and he was like, okay, cool. You know, he was on the up and up with it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why.
17% of people didn't help with extra chores, which means 83% of players did, which is pretty great.
Yeah. Yes. Grateful. There's so many hidden ones, too, around the house. Like, things to pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you a little toy car at one point. Yeah. And then the backyard, we have the scene, the crossover scene with Chris. Did you guys play it off like nothing happened, or it's like, oh, I didn't see anything, or did you say like kind of immediately get into
for his dad?
No, before the dad came up, when there's just like this moment of like, did you see that? It's like, no, I didn't see anything.
Oh, I said I did.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of played it off, and then when it came to confronting Daniel, it's that was one of the hard ones where like, I'm gonna go like re-chat or something for a few minutes. I'll leave this pause for a second, I'll like let it stew.
Did you tell him he did the right thing when he said
I eventually told him he did the right thing, okay. Yeah, but yeah, it was hard because it's like, okay, do I, because it's like, it felt like there could be a bad consequence that's either way, towards like, if I like don't reinforce the rules, he's gonna get lax and he's gonna screw up at the wrong time, and you do it in some point where like it really doesn't need to, but then, you know, but then am I like telling him it's okay to let people get hurt to like not use this to help
others? You know it's gonna happen. You know he's gonna have the chance to save someone and he's not gonna use his powers. You should have let him use them.
Yeah.
No one's gonna happen. I'm gonna feel so bad.
76% of people told Chris or told Daniel he did the right thing saving Chris. So
it's either that or rules. What's the other
one? Yeah, you remind him of the rules.
Dude, I'm in the minority then. Yeah. I reminded him of the rules.
Uh-oh, he's going to kill a man.
Oh, so you got to be careful, man. We're X-Men. we don't want him to come after us.
What was kind of weird about this, I think this might have, like, when we go into the next day. And yeah, because he's home. Yeah, this is when they're home alone. And like Daniel's like, see ya, I went over to the neighbor's house.
Yeah, this is when you have the chance to call.
Yeah, it's when you have the chance to call or use the internet. Mm-hmm. And so it's really funny to me that like he was contemplating all of this while complaining about Daniel not following the rules.
Yeah.
It's like, Daniel, you know you're not supposed to go over there. Like, maybe you should use the phone.
Yeah, I did not use the phone.
Yeah, I did not
use
the phone.
How many people called her?
It says 27% used the phone to call Lila. 65 did not. 7% couldn't talk to Lila and lied to her mother.
Ooh.
So that probably has something to do with episode one.
With whether have you called.
And 1% couldn't talk.
She might start screening calls if you called her the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
1% couldn't talk and told the truth to her mother.
Hmm.
But most of us didn't use the phone to call her.
Got it.
Following the rules.
Following the rules.
Following them.
And then, oh, so when you get to Chris, when you first see Chris, did you play along and just kind of like not say anything about when he thought he had powers? Or did you immediately shut that down? When they're like playing with the toys and they're just floating in the air before the dad comes in?
I guess I at no point kind of like told Chris he didn't have powers.
Yeah, I forget the options here when you first come in, because you come storming into the house like, what are you doing?
Right.
The toys fall and then I wasn't like, Chris, you don't have powers.
Yeah, I don't think you can as Daniel there. Or Sean, I mean.
Yeah.
I didn't write down the exact options, but I think there is a little. I think it's that's irresponsible.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
I don't think I said that's irresponsible. I think I chose.
I think I said it was cool.
I think I said it was cool. I just like played along with it for there, to like not give it away.
I couldn't like Chris. It's just this kid that has the world stacked against him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still such an upbeat little guy, regardless. Like, he's like a young Michael Huber.
Right.
And I was just like, I couldn't break Chris's morale. I couldn't break his spirit. So I was very adamant with Daniel, like, you need to nip this in the bud.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't take the thought of Chris being so sad.
Totally.
Well, when you're playing with the toys and you kind of have to like sort out like heroes and villains and that fun little bit, I felt like you did get a chance to get a sense that like Chris's trust isn't really there with his dad. So that sort of reinforced my trust with Chris. So, like, okay, we could let Chris in on things a little bit because he's not going to go off blabbing it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I thought that was a neat little segment to kind of get more behind, like, what's going on with him.
Yeah, and I played the Captain Spirit theme song when he went over there. It was so cool.
Mm.
45% of people told Daniel, at least when I played this, told Daniel to stop lying to Chris about his power.
Yeah, I told him to stop lying.
55 Less? Chose to protect Daniel's secret and told him to be careful.
Oh, that was 55 versus 45?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
it's close.
A huge. That's the maybe the biggest decision in the whole thing.
In the storybook version of this game, at the end, like, Daniel and Sean will go live with Claire and Steven, and then Chris will like live with them too for no reason.
Or his dad will like turn it around again because of that conversation in the car.
Yeah,
I feel like I broke through to him and he was like, you're right, I've gotta be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I left them in a really good spot, I feel like.
That's cool.
Yeah. You're a good man, my neighbor.
but my alarm bells were ringing the whole time. Like Lord, we're gonna go get a Christmas tree. I was like, no, we're not. We're going back in the house. But
yeah.
you couldn't stop it because it's just part of the plot. So then we're wandering around the Christmas tree lot,
which was great. Lethal Weapon.
Yeah. I don't know what that reference is. I don't remember the Christmas tree lot. But yeah, so that was interesting because you get to interact with some vendors there. You get to see Cassidy singing.
How much money did you guys have at this point?
I had $4. Okay,
I had $4 as well, and I gave $1 to Cassidy.
Yeah.
I ended up like somehow like not like I just waited too long and like Cassidy ended up moving on because I was just looking to see like, is there something that I can spend this money on, like try to buy a gift first before I give her money.
I desperately did not want to steal that yo-yo.
Me too.
And I thought I had salvation when I found that broken toy. I thought it was gonna be like, oh, here's this broken toy. Nope.
And then the stats.
Yep.
What do the stats say? You found multiple toys for, like, where?
Yeah, how?
Where are these
54%
toys?
54% of people bought a Christmas present for Daniel.
How
where did
possible?
They get this money?
Right.
And you guys don't smoke, right?
He definitely smoked in the cabin.
He smoked, because he was like, it's the last night I'm going to smoke.
Because I was thinking, like, maybe if you smoke, you spend money.
I don't think so. I think he probably found it.
But 9% found several Christmas presents for
where
Daniel.
Is this 9%
where?
9% get these presents?
I've
walked
idea.
Over and over
me
and over.
Me too.
I'm like looking. I'm like,
I was desperate.
Something. And it's like at some point, they even blocked me from going to the other half of the lot. I'm like, okay. I guess this is it. This yo-yo is the only thing I can do, but there's something hidden there.
I thought maybe someone would take pity on me, like one of the vendors.
Yep, same thing.
But they
talking
did not.
To them as much as I could.
Yep.
But then that that got into alarm bells too. It was like, who are you staying with? I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then,
did you tell him who you were staying with? Because I kind of rode the line towards, like, I said I was staying with them, but I was like, oh, you know, we're friends of the family.
Yeah.
I said I was staying with Chris's dad.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, oh, you know, he's been through a lot, so it's nice for him to have someone around.
Nice. I think I said I was staying with Claire and them.
I'm curious what they would have said if you were, like, at a motel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like,
but
oh,
apparently
no.
Somebody recognized you anyways.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah, probably Nick. Probably that guy that, like, he started harassing Cassidy and her friend for, like, no good. Oh, because they had the dog off the leash.
Yeah.
And they got into this back and forth. And then dude couldn't let it go. He just kept complaining afterwards.
Yeah.
I bet it's that guy.
It's got to be that guy. That was the villain.
It was either him or it was the one that, you know, was asking about Claire and Steven, mm-hmm. the vendor.
Yeah.
But I guess it could have been, like, any random person.
Anyone, yeah. Anyone could have just been like, hey. Recognize him? Small town, you know?
Yeah.
See people you don't recognize?
Well, they had said the cops had come asking about him and stuff like that, too. It's mm-hmm. like they had already had to deal with the cops before they showed up.
Mm-hmm. Cassidy seemed cool. Did you watch the whole performance?
I watched the whole performance.
Yeah. No.
Talked a little bit. Oh, you didn't?
I did not listen to the whole performance, but 55% of people did not listen to the whole performance.
Okay. I tipped her.
I did, yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm good. Mm-hmm. And then I talked to her, and she seemed cool.
Yeah.
And I guess,
it was,
you know,
cool with
the
stories
preview.
With the trains, because it, like, that ties mm-hmm. back into Life is Strange.
Yeah. In the Captain Spirit. One of the newspaper articles in Captain Spirit is about this, like, roving gang or whatever on the trains.
Oh, I didn't.
The trains. Steven's got his trains. That. It's all about the trains.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Max also was on the train with Chloe, right? Or was it just Chloe and Rachel?
It was Chloe and Max, dude, right? When they played hooky, right?
Yeah, they walk on the tracks together.
That's right.
It's all trains. The future is steam.
That's why I was thinking it was going to lead into, like, eventually, like, another episode, we're going to find Max.
Hope so.
Out there.
Where are you, Max?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Old, like, Jedi Max, dude. Like, well, cause, time.
Because we were all on the train at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If they don't just have us, like, see Chloe and Max in the distance at the train yard, it's like criminal.
I need it.
But they're already past Arcadia Bay, so they'd have to meet up somewhere else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then anyone take the risk of pranking Nick?
No way.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
Not worth it at all. Like, this
it's
guy's
not gonna help, yeah.
Yeah, this guy's a jerk, but this is definitely not worth it.
Did you sit and draw at the table?
No.
Yes.
That's the only opportunity I saw to draw in this episode.
Oh, there's one.
There's another one?
Yeah, there was one with the dog, I think, where the dog is there and you, like, kind of, like, paint the...
That's cool.
And then there was one in the house. There's one in the house where you stand in the corner. Or, like, yeah, you stand in the corner.
Yeah, so I missed a lot of little things. Because I noticed, like, you know how you get the little mementos? Like, mm-hmm. I get almost none of those.
To be honest, I keep forgetting that he's an artist as I'm playing it.
Oh.
I know. I should not, because that's such a huge theme of the game, but I just keep forgetting.
The only reason I don't want to miss him is because when, like, episode 4 and 5 roll around, I want to, like, drown myself in nostalgia and just go through all the pictures.
Yeah, I saw, I don't... It probably was there before and I didn't notice, but I saw that they have, like, what they call a collectible mode, so that you can go back in and look for stuff without, like, altering the decisions
nice.
You've already made.
Dude, I should do that.
It kind of popped up.
Dude, Elise, you would have loved this one. So you sit on the desk. Who rolls up? Chris.
Really?
And he's like, you can draw?
Oh, wow. No!
He's like, oh, that's so good! Like, can you add something cool to it? So then you can either, you draw the Christmas lot, and you can either add a UFO or zombies,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you add little zombies into it, and they're just, like, coming in the Christmas lot, and he's like, oh, that's so cool.
Did you see the UFO one, too? Or?
I didn't see the UFO.
So the UFO one, yeah, so there's, like, a spaceship up in the above the trees, and then there's, like, some little aliens coming down the lane.
So cool.
But then while that's happening, like, Daniel, like, sticks his face in that little, you know, the little elf thing or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so, like, you've got the little face of Daniel in there,
dude,
too. That's good to add.
Chris needs to be happy.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Be happy.
Oh yeah, we talked about the yo-yo. All of us were forced to steal a yo-yo. We talked about talking to Charles.
Some economic masters out there buying multiple gifts.
I think they must have stolen money from the gas station or something. Like, that's probably what happened.
Something, dude. Stole some money somewhere along the line.
The thing with the conversation with Charles is, like, I thought that I was like, getting somewhere with him and had a good heart-to-heart, but, like, at the end, like, it marked my decision as, like, oh, you did not break through.
Yeah. It's that beautiful moment of you're doing the best you can, letting it slide, or challenging him. I love that.
Well, I think you and I, because it says 93% of people didn't get involved in his problems, and I wonder if people ran into the same situation as us where they thought they were, but they weren't. So, like, how did he react? What did he do?
When you say everything's fine, he just is like, I just I'm struggling, but, you know, just I'm by myself and, you know, I can just do what I can. But if you challenge him, then he starts going into, like, you know, Chris deserves better. I've let him down. You know, it's been really hard.
But he kind of did that.
Yeah, I felt like
I've
got some of that, but then it's like the choice said I didn't.
Me too. So, like, what? I wonder what the extra measure that you got was then.
When Chris falls from the treehouse, and the dad shows up, did you? He shows up and he's like, "Hey, everything's fine," or he says something, and then you can be like, "Yeah, everything's fine," or question him, be like, "Is it?"
I think I said, "Is it?"
Yeah, you can immediately be like combative. I did that one too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I wonder which one, because I don't think I challenged him at that point, but maybe I did challenge him. I can't remember.
When it comes.
Oh, sorry, 93% though? Didn't get through.
Yeah, and
I think it's like what we're saying is like the option there just wasn't clear because we thought we did.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I need to know more about their mother just because is it really just that she abandoned the whole family or is there something like more to her? I just can't like to me it seems like yes, she walked out on the family, but they do talk about her like she's the devil, though. Especially, like, Claire is like, I don't have a daughter, you know, and I don't know.
They're going to make it hard. They're going to make you sympathize with her. They have to, you know, it can't be that clear cut.
Well,
there's
like,
got to be something.
Well, like
she
Rachel's
left.
Mother and before the storm, like, that was really, you know, like a pretty tricky relationship to try to sort out.
Mm-hmm.
Some great big mess, and then the stuff that ended up going on with her dad, and I was like, man, okay. Yeah. I don't know what exactly to do here with these people.
Yeah, I wonder if she has family down there that she needed to take care of too or something, and it's like you have to choose them or us or something.
So we sneak into the mom's room, had to find the key. That took a little bit to sort out.
Yeah, that was pretty tough.
One thing that was weird was I did something to where, like, Sean's dialogue cut off things that Daniel was saying.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was like, I can't find this card again. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? I didn't even hear anyone reference a card again.
Yeah, that part was weird.
Yeah.
For sure. That was the only, like, flaw, I feel like. Because after the same thing happened to me. I searched the entire room a bunch. After I checked everything, then he was like, I need to find that card again. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I didn't even hear that. I think just on a lark, I saw it on the bed, and I was like, I'll just look at this thing. But I would have never thought the key would be in it. Because isn't there a point where, like, you find a small key?
Yeah, you find
and
the jewelry key, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's probably it. You find this key, they find this key. But no. It's like,
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird part. But it was cool getting in there, like, the teddy bear, like, that Daniel immediately gravitated to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her room's kind of like a time capsule, too.
Yeah.
Yes. The feeling of going into that room was so intense of, like, nothing looks changed. You know, your mom was here. Again, the mystery of who this woman is. And
why
just
is she so reviled?
And just to be a passive observer there, but then also kind of see Daniel and what he's going through, and he just is so curious and wants to know more.
Could you imagine if I mean, they got a recent letter from their mother, but before I saw that letter, I thought, what if their mother has like since died, you know? And that's something they find out, like, it's not even that she left, but she's just no longer there.
But yeah, finding the letter was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What was interesting, Claire comes in to confront him, like, you get no time to respond. You guys just get cut off from responding. It's like that's all you've got to say? It's like, yeah. Oh,
gosh. I was like, yo.
Because I was wanting to, I was just trying to weigh my options real quick, but it was like no time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't react quick enough.
Again, I was in the wrong there, you know, I'm busting into this room, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But then you get the option of being like, yo, you can't blame us, like, we want to know about her.
That's, I was kind of like, he wants to know, but Daniel deserves to know, and if you're not going to tell him, you know.
Yeah, I was kind of defending our point and just trying to figure out, like, why are you keeping this from us?
Mm-hmm.
But then the cupboard or the wardrobe or whatever it is falls on Steven.
Jeez.
So, but you guys didn't have Daniel help.
I didn't. And I just saw what would have happened if you did have him help.
So I did have him help.
And then we're curious, how
is Claire going to react to this, right?
Yeah.
You know, and she has this second of, like, what are you? Like, you think it's about to turn real bad.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, this must be some kind of a miracle. And then the cops pull up. And so she goes to basically run interference on the cops. So she starts distracting the cops.
Dang,
tells you, go get your bags and get out of here.
She does that too.
She does that too. But
even if you pull it off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I did see that if Daniel uses his power, he doesn't get injured. But when we pulled him out, he hurt his leg.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that, yeah. Because he said something about his leg, so that's why I was like, we got to use the power here.
Oh, that's probably like the perfect place to use the power too.
I know.
Again, I feel like I'm coddling him.
Yeah.
And now something is going to go down where he needs to use his power and he's not going to. I feel like that decision there would have been smarter.
In the moment, I don't know why I didn't.
So,
got to keep it under wraps.
With Chris, did you guys tell Chris to, or did you tell Daniel to tell Chris the truth or not?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we ran into the backyard,
mm-hmm.
and then Chris gives us the cave and says, you're the real superheroes.
Yep.
And or tells Daniel, and then tells you to go through the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you guys didn't see this other scene of like this car crash or whatever?
No, and mine the cop didn't chase you and Chris helped you escape.
Right.
But now I didn't even like read these before, but now I'm seeing that
there's heavy.
Yeah. So apparently
Chris was hit by a car.
Chris is hit by a car or not hit by a car.
That happened to the most players that Chris was hit by a car.
It's the trust thing.
I think it has to do with whether you tell Chris the truth.
Well, because
if Chris thinks that he has these powers and he tries to stop a cop car.
Yeah. You can tell Daniel to tell Chris. You say, hey, tell him. Depending on your level of trust with him, he either will listen to you or not.
Mm.
So even if you say, hey, don't lie to him, tell him, it's still up to him and he can not do it. And then he goes through the remorse of like, I should have listened to you. I'm sorry. I should have told him. So it all depends on your relationship as brothers.
Hmm.
If he listens to you or not.
I wonder what makes the difference between him getting hit or not. I wonder if there's like a choice in there of like Daniel using his power to get Chris out of the way or something, or to move the cop car himself.
Mm-hmm. Man, if that had... I'm so glad that Chris wasn't hit by a car in mine, because that would have been the cherry on the shit Sunday for Chris. I feel so bad for Chris. Man. Ugh.
Yeah.
He's a little humor.
It's
so
weird.
Much hope.
It's weird because I'm disappointed that neither of you saw that, because I want to know more.
Me too.
Without just
now,
like going and watching a video, you know?
Yeah, I had watched it.
You did watch it?
Yeah.
The car
like swerves and like tail whips Chris.
Oh no.
Chris goes flying. You run off. Then they're at the camp. And
feathers on the wall.
Feathers on the wall. Poof of feathers.
Sorry,
and then Daniel is like in tears. You give him the gift and he like doesn't care. just full depression.
Oh, no. Yeah. Can I tell you, I was also a little bit concerned for Claire and Stephen because they've been aiding and abetting fugitives,
right,
regardless of whether they're grandchildren or not. They're breaking the law, mm-hmm, and it's very obvious. There's evidence all over the house that they've been doing that. So I'm like, what does that mean for them, too?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Although, at least with our ending, I don't think the cops ever see you.
Yeah.
So I think that they might be able to get off a little bit easier, you know, because it's like there might be, I mean, obviously, mm-hmm, you know, you were spotted, somebody reported that you were there, but if there's not like super clear evidence, like if everything was in your backpacks and stuff, they might not have anything to pin them.
Dialing it back one sec, when you, there's the computer and you can go on and you can either log in or just check it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens if you just check it.
If you just, well, it's like he's just thinking about it kind of thing.
I didn't even touch it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't touch
it. I was not going to risk that. Are you crazy?
Dude, okay. So you can log in, which is bad because then they trace it. But if you just use it, you get to read Brody's blog.
Oh.
Yeah.
What does it say? What
is it? It was, there's like two articles. And I just remember one of them is about like the nudist colony or something. And then like, as you're walking away, he's like, I would have been shocked by this weeks ago, but not anymore.
Man, Brody's like, such a good dude.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. The reason I bring it up is because I think it's so interesting that we're on this journey and a lot of these characters are going to come and go and you only really get to encounter them in one episode or so.
I'm always so hopeful. Like, I'm so hopeful we see Chris again.
Totally. I want to see Chris. Brody, I want to see Brody, Lila.
Yeah,
and it's like,
but I think that they're, I mean, you, like you saw, like, you could call Lila, but mm-hmm, then mom starts screening calls or whatever, and that's it, you know, so.
Will we make it to Mexico City? That's where we're headed, right? No,
Puerto Lobos.
No. Puerto Lobos.
Yeah.
Which, that actually kind of reminds me of the beginning, which I thought was really cool, how they did the recap, where it's like the storybook of the, like, two wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's such a great way of doing that.
That's
rather
beautiful.
Than just like replaying scenes.
The presentation and the music are just so top notch.
Yep.
Like, you know, the improvement on that aspect just from one to two is mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful.
Life is Strange has always been great with its music,
mm-hmm,
though. They always get that. But yeah, man, I didn't realize I would get so invested in this one.
I know.
Coming off, I thought, how is it going to top? But
right,
it's excellent.
Well, and what I was, I kind of alluded to this on Twitter. What I really like too is that, like, you get to like a really satisfying endpoint towards like you want to know what happens next, but you're not on like this cliffhanger of like,
mm-hmm,
so you know, it's like it just feels like a really solid complete chapter.
The storytelling isn't trying to like, it's not trying to have a gotcha with a cliffhanger. It's not trying to be like, well, you have to tune in because if you want to know what's going to happen immediately after this hanging point, it's still good resolution and storytelling. Like you said, it's just, even with that, it makes you want to keep watching it.
I feel
playing
like
it, I should say.
Episodic too, it just consumes me more, you know? Like, again, I'm losing sleep because I didn't call Lila, and I like hanging on to those feelings until the next episode.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really good.
What did you think about this teaser? This teaser's weird.
Yeah.
This is like upward panning shot of like the pot farm.
Yep.
And you're like, all you hear are their voices.
Yep. Going to work with Krista. What was it? It was totally her voice. Guitar player.
Oh, you think it's Cassidy?
Oh, I didn't
Cassidy.
Put that together.
It sounded like Cassidy. It really did.
I don't know.
Pretty
I feel
sure.
like if it was Cassidy, they wouldn't have hidden it. But,
it felt like it. Because the other one, too, and even the last teaser, it only showed The Rock, so maybe they just don't show people in the... That's kind of their...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Because then that way they can, like, tease
that
Max
could maybe make sense.
Showing her or something.
Because I was, you know, because they were hiding it, like, I was thinking, it's like, is this... Did they somehow actually end up with Karen next? Mm. You know, do they find her?
What I thought about it was, I'm excited to make some money. That was my first thought. Oh, we're working at a weed farm? Let's make some cash.
We
I've
need
been
it.
Broke too long.
I mean, realistically, we need money to be able to take care of Daniel
right.
and ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, that's just, that was the thing when we first got the dog. I was like, how are we going to take care of this dog?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Is this, Yeah, and now, like, in this one, he's, like, feeding the dog ravioli. I'm like, oh, no.
That is on the wall.
So it's weird because it's like, oh, this is terrible this happened, but it's also sort of a relief because it's like, how would we have kept this dog on through everything?
Yeah.
But I guess we could have left it with them.
Yeah, that was...
Claire and Stephen could have been taking care of Mushroom.
Oh, dang.
But dang, no, it. No choice.
No. Didn't get to bury Mushroom either.
Let me see if there are any other...
Didn't have a picture with him.
Percentages that stuck out to me.
No memories.
No memories.
Well, I think the scarf, right, is in your inventory.
I think
you get to keep the scarf.
It's on the window at one point.
Yeah.
There was this one specific part where Daniel's like, we don't even have a picture with him. And I was like, come on, man. Trying.
Oh, 83% didn't gain Chris's trust to talk about his dad when they were playing with the toys. And again, I think it was the same thing with the dad. We're like, I don't know what I could have done differently unless it was maybe those choices before.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe like if you're more open with Chris earlier.
Maybe like some Captain Spirit decisions too. Just the way you handle it with Chris. I mean, that's obviously going to change his mindset depending on some choices there.
Yeah.
I am so anxious to see how minute these changes become.
I think that, I think we went through all the other ones when Elise was checking through them as we were going. But yeah, cool episode, man.
Yeah, I feel like we all kind of left it off in a good spot. Kristen got hit by a car.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Thank God that didn't happen. I would have flipped out.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the next one. So what are you predicting? Like, this was September to January. So the next one...
Hopefully it'll be a little quicker.
Yeah. Maybe June?
June's a long way off.
Hopefully
less
for
like
months.
April.
Let's say April, May.
Just less than 4 months.
Because this also felt like it was... Maybe the studio was trying to get it released before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Didn't hit that deadline. I mean, it has the Christmas tree lot. And
yeah.
So I was kind of like, oh.
Totally. And the other one was around the Halloween. You were going to go to the Halloween party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're maybe are a little bit behind their own schedule.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of that had to do with like Captain Spirit importing and all that. That seems logistically like just harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just probably the nature of the beast. I mean, we have all that detail of all of those rooms and everything. And yeah.
Well, I can't wait till the next one.
Yeah. Me neither.
Yeah. Middle episode. So I feel like it's going to be more.
Yeah, the very center of it.
Right? I think so.
Yeah, because I do wonder, like with this one, like whether we're actually going to get to Puerto Lobos at some point, or if something's gonna shift. Like, I think next episode is like where we see where things are really going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're ever gonna get there, personally. But I hope we do.
Yeah.
But I don't think we will.
Yeah.
That's just my personal...
I think we'll be looking at a turning point soon.
I think now that we're dealing with drugs, there's going to be maybe some sketchy individuals at the lot or something, you know? Something to do with money. Dude, I bet you have the chance to, like, steal a ton of cash.
What if... what is his name? Frank?
Oh.
The
drug dealer?
The drug dealer. Chloe's drug dealer.
Oh.
If Frank shows up, I will lose it.
I mean, I wonder if we end up at the farm and like stuff goes down, but then Cassidy shows up and it's like, no, I can vouch for this kid. He gave me a dollar.
Yeah.
I didn't know. But I think she'd still be cool.
You're doomed.
She'd still be cool. Yeah. We were good terms.
Did you take the weed pipe from his room too?
The what? What?
In episode one, you can like take
Oh, no, I didn't.
I don't remember.
Got it.
Don't remember.
Got it.
But cool. Let us know your thoughts, your choices in our comments, and we'll be back here whenever episode 3 drops. But Huber will be out soon. You guys are going to hopefully record Resident Evil 2 in a few days.
Monday.
So awesome. Yeah, look forward to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Thank you, everyone.
Daniel?
Leave me alone!
Do it, Daniel! No!